70%, that's 7-0, 70% of Chinese women wish they could have two babies or more because they worried that only one child is likely to become lonely or spoiled. The commission just announced the survey, but here's the twist. It was conducted in 2006, but it's only being released now. For more on that survey and what it might mean for China's one-child policy, we're joined by Quentin Somerville, the BBC's Beijing correspondent. Quentin, are you there?
I am. Hi, Todd. How are you this evening?
I'm very well, thank you. This morning in the United States on the East Coast. Quentin, give us the background to this one-child policy. When did it come about?
Well, Todd, the interesting thing about the one-child policy is that it isn't really a one-child policy. For actually the majority of women in China, they're allowed to have more than one child. So, for example, if you're an ethnic minority in China, if you're not Han Chinese, you can have as many children if you want. Or if you, if you're the product of a one-child family, so if you were a one-child and your husband is a one-child, you're allowed to have two children. And then in the countryside, it gets a bit complicated, but then in the countryside, if your first child is a girl, you're then allowed to try for a second child in the hope that it's a boy, because here in China, having a boy is very important. So the one-child policy really only matters in towns and in urban areas, and that's where that survey has been focused. And we see the results that many people are saying that they would rather have more than one child. But what's interesting is that Chinese people manage to separate what they want and what they believe is good for China. So often when you speak to Chinese people, they say, yes, I'd like a second child, but actually China is a very big country with 1.3 billion people with very few resources. The best thing for China is that I only have one child.
People are really convinced that their own sacrifice is for the greater good, even in forming their own families.
Absolutely. And the interesting thing is that this story appeared, this survey was written up in one of the state newspapers. And one of the things that surprised me when I came to China 3.5 years ago was there is an active debate going on about the one-child policy, about how it changes, how it develops, and how China matches these needs. As people in cities get richer, many of them can afford the fines that they'd have to pay if they had a second child.
The disincentives, yeah.
Exactly. But there is this worry that we now have a generation of Chinese people who've grown up as little emperors or little empresses. They've been one child, they've grown up with two sets of grandparents, and they've been terribly spoiled. They've had all this attention from these two sets of grandparents and their parents focused on them, pouring money into them, into their education. And quite often it's made them not very nice people. And the big worry is that this is corrupting Chinese society.
Hey, I know,
and the government
I know,
has to do something about that.
I know lots of people with brothers and sisters who aren't very nice people either. But let me ask you about the Chinese about the Chinese government. Have they seen this report? Have they reacted to it? Is there any indication that it will influence the one-child policy at all?
Well, the one-child policy really is something that seems to be up for negotiation. I mean, it's a fundamental part of Chinese society. But talking about it and discussing how it's implemented, particularly in the cities where all the money is, where there's an increasing affluence, and where more people feel that they have more choices, they're no longer part of work groups, they're no longer supervised by the state in the way they were.
Yeah.
Well, all of that seems to be
all
up
right
for grabs.
Quentin, thanks. We got to run. Quentin Somerville from the BBC in Beijing. Thanks for joining us.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.